The Virtue of the Negro at the home of Lawrence Lipton in Venice, California, on the evening of Saturday, April the 13th. Am I not right?
I think so.
And we have the great pleasure of having at the piano
Bob Duro.
Bob Duro. And at the chair,
Saul White. The brushes.
With the brushes. And we are going to improvise pure jazz improvisation with somewhat impure poetry. So here we go. The first poem is Afro-American Fragment. So long, so far away is Africa. Not even memories alive, save those that history books create, save those that songs beat back into the blood. Beat out of blood with words sad sung in strange un-Negro tongue. So long, so far away is Africa. Subdued and time lost are the drums, and yet through some vast mist of race there comes this song I do not understand. This song of atavistic land, of bitter yearnings lost without a place. So long, so far away is Africa's dark face. I'd liars. Shall we go ahead? I've known rivers. I've known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood in human veins. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I bathed in the Euphrates when dawns were young. I built my hut near the Congo, and it lulled me to sleep. I looked upon the Nile and raised the pyramids above it. And I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans. And I've seen its muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I've known rivers, ancient, dusky rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. Well, out of the Southland came one time, just after the war, a little family, and in the family there was a little girl who I imagine was about 6 or 7 years old. This little girl had grown up in a state like Alabama or Georgia or Texas, where there was legal segregation, and where you, when you go out into public places, you, if you're colored, have to ride in the back seat of the train or the streetcar usually, and if you want to go to a park, you may not be able to go at all. If you want to go to the zoo, maybe you can go, but you can't go into the lion house, and all sorts of strange rules and regulations. At any rate, this little girl is brought by her family to a town, let's say maybe like Oakland, California, or it could be Omaha, Nebraska, or it could be Newark, New Jersey, and one day she goes to a carnival, and she sees a merry-go-round going around. She wants to ride. But being a very little girl and a colored girl, she doesn't know whether Negro children can ride on the merry-go-round or not. If they can ride, she doesn't know where. So this is what she says. Where is the Jim Crow section on this merry-go-round? Mister, 'cause I want to ride. Down south where I come from, White and colored can't sit side by side. Down south on the train, there's a Jim Crow car. On the bus, we're put in the back. But there ain't no back to a merry-go-round. Where's a horse for a kid that's black?
Push that down.
There you go.
Well, this was a preliminary explanation intended for rehearsal purposes. you want that on tape, too?
Yes, certainly.
Well, I've told everybody now where Hastings Street is. Now, who remembers what I said?
Detroit.
Well, where is Lenox Avenue? And where is 18th and Vine?
Kansas City.
Central Avenue.
LA.
Right here in LA.
Rampart Street
in New Orleans. Okay. Now, here we go. This fellow is going, has been all around the country, and he finally has met a girl that he loves. But look what happens to him. Could be Hastings Street or Lenox Avenue. Could be 18th and Vine and still be true. Could be 5th and Mound. Could be Rampart. When you pawn my watch, you pawn my heart. Could be you love me. Could be that you don't. Might be that you'll come back. Like as not, you won't. Hastings Street is weary. Also Lenox Avenue. Any place is dreary without my watch and you. About the train. Train boogie woogie.
Oh, yeah.
You like to do the train boogie woogie?
Yeah,
okay. Anyway, I read one line and then you start, and it's the train going.
One line.
You think that'll work that way?
Mm-hmm.
They have not seen these poems before, you see. So we're working purely from scratch. Give me 6 bits worth a ticket on a train that runs somewhere. I say 6 bits worth a ticket on a train that runs somewhere. I don't care where it's going, just so it goes away from here. Oh, let it go. Let it go to Las Vegas. Omaha, let it go to Kansas City. Where else could it be going? Minneapolis, Minnesota. Name a good town, somebody. Florida. Oh. No, we got to go to North, you see. Not that way. Baby, give me a little lovin', but don't make it too long. A little lovin', babe, but don't make it too long. Make it short and sweet, your loving, so I can roll along. Let it roll. I got to roll along.
Whatever became of Sally Ann? I remember sapphire and coral. In the farthest west, the moon hangs opal and fire. The vast vaginal universe spins in the eye, the earth's dream of her kind. Wherein she lies pupating Venus, watching the great thirsts of the world revolve above the advertising signs, where eunuch seraphim in choirs intone the glib commercials of the gods. And shimmering amid vine leaves moves love born on slow feet, with lightning of the farthest star, the lion and the louse alike, with magic thunder mate. Above Chicago roofs a ritual dawn, belled horse hoofs on the cobbles, sawdust, beer slops, factory whistles, drunks caroling home under the fading gas lamps. Christmas, holy morning. Aye, the century was young. Archbishop ushers God emasculate upon his throne. Gilt by gold gelded, peers over his rimless glasses, keeping book on galaxies and maidenheads. I remember atolls of Manhattan, ribbed steel sprung coiled, towering stone on stone sprung tight, wired to the live nerve quivering, hung between night and night. How many in her tumbled pillows burned golden in that rainbow bed, mile deep, lost, hair, sweat, perfume, heart bled to the last white drop and shiver of her trembling thighs. A greenling goddess in black mesh, nuzzled in a smell of apes, bruised oranges fermenting in the sun, the long afternoons of first love gone rancid sweet. How small a part of time they share. I saw the grin go pale upon her lips. New York, New York is just an old man's paradise, she said. and passed out blotto on the bathroom floor. I remember flags, parades, last words, a lifted hand. She wept a little, made a vow, broke it before morning. Shepherd, I was young. Trapped in the coiling years, Paris bound by way of Baltimore, Provincetown, New York. The spider spins, the mirror cracks, crow's feet and the bloodshot eye. The old banalities. I'm calling my ambassadors home for consultation. Give my compliments to all popes, premiers, presidents. The letter bled. And back once more to Tucker Alley, Rush Street. Over the water tower a sullen rain fell. Sunday afternoon they found her. Chalk up one fake suicide for love. Her name misspelled in the morning papers. And I am given to the eagle's claw, a flight of mountains, horses rearing in a shroud of fog by Smolny out of Paris barricades. I threw myself into the movement. Hell, what else was there to do? She said, oh, rebel girl, oh, rebel girl, at 30, stiff with fear, bride of a sexless lover, barstool Baptist bread on chicken patties, peas in paper cups, took her third in a row, had left him for a uniform. Rolled out every barrel between San Diego and the border. All the wild wives of the USA laid end to end. She laughed. While Kamikaze screamed out of Pacific skies to solve a problem summed up in her life amid the oil slicks and debris. Mission accomplished. I never did know where to end the begin, she said. A hippie broad with milkless middle years left stranded on a perpetual left bank. Anyone who wants the carcass can have it, softly now with irony. The worms won't miss a thing. Bruised, beaten, blue in the veins, one kidney gone. A bargain counter life with basement marked down dreams. In Veterans Hospital, they gave me the keys to the mental ward. I'm not afraid of them, she said. You know, all they want is a little love. Like this Chinese boy. He cries all the time. He paints beautiful. He paints and he cries. And I cry with him. It helps. I remember this one word now, deep as a bell, leaf new, heart round, shaped to the ear's shell, driven in the wind's palm, shockwave to the world's report. Let it be counted to her voyaged hours, logged in every wind, pressed beyond her powers, that in the last storm and rattle choked down the engine, paid her anchor out, and nailed to the mast went down, and never found that last foot of line, no ultimate rock to chain her anchor to, 1/10,000th part of love enough to comfort or to save. O nesting sun, receive the flowering hand, the serpent in the hollow eye. I'll read just one more poem, which appears in the March number of the Atlantic, called The Questioner. I suppose this will be done with music one day. You know, Jack Montrose wants to make music for it. But it is not, I'm afraid, the kind of thing that can be improvised very well, even behind it, because it's regular rhythm. So let's not try that. It probably will be sung. In that first troubling of the heart, so long ago and unforgotten, toddling slow and small beside that kingly, tall and sun-wreathed being, hand in hand, yet halfway round the world apart, I gave my question words, such words as then I knew, unfledged, misgiving nothing, still trusting mind and will. It was of Eden's morning, bright and blessed with silver birds. He spoke and did not answer me. This then I made my world, serene, with sun motes, hyacinth, with lizard's armor and whatever came to hand, spelled by lily bell and leaf, bedded on the spring's first green, subsumed in the hollow of God's hand, I gave my question voice once more. When sudden plain I saw death agony of tooth and claw, murder stalking night and day within the shadow of a grain of sand, and no voice answered me. Still loath to stay my hurrying feet, down the steep road of my blind down-going hurried on, to where the sea with gong and cymbal and white billowing danced savage to an ancient beat, I flung my riddle. Like a stone she drew me, drunk and down I went, singing like a sunken bell, and though I loved her well, wintered in her icy hair, and made the cavern of her arm my home, still she did not answer me. And came to where the laureled dead stand perpetually and hold their endless dialogue with God, and in their hands the old lost books lay open. There I would perchance have read the answer, but a dread and nameless fear surprised me so. I only know that I surmised a snare, drew back, my foot faltered on the stair, and in that frantic dreaming flight, I knew at last I did not want to know.